Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, God bless you. This is Evangelist Amos coming to you live from Manna Teaching Ministry. Tonight we're going to be talking about secret sins. Amen. And this is a message that God gave me tonight because I love the Bible study that we had tonight. And one of the scriptures that the minister had read on tonight was in Psalms 51. And when she read that scripture, amen, God just started speaking to my heart. Amen. So we're going to start in 2 Samuel, the book of 2 Samuel. And we're going to start in chapter 11, 2 Samuel chapter 11. And we're going to talk about David and Bathsheba. Amen. And the Lord just blessed. I hope you get blessed like I did with this message tonight. Father, add a blessing to this word. Father, as we go out into the highways and the byways and we preach, God, that your Holy Spirit would soften the hearts of the people, that they would receive. Open up their mind, God, that they will receive from you. And God, that they will look past me and they will see you, your hand, in this word tonight. And God, that you would use it to bear fruit in their lives a hundredfold. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. God bless you, saints. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. They destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David tarried still at Jerusalem." So at the time when kings go forth to battle, the Bible said, David decided to stay home. This is the first mistake he made. He was not in the place where he should have been. Therefore, the devil was able to get in. Anytime God specifically says that you ought to be in a certain place at a certain time and you're not there, the devil is going to get a foothold into your life. And that's why the Bible says they that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. Amen. So let's look at this scripture. The Bible says in 2 Samuel 11 and 2, verse 2, "It came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, 'Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?'" Very important scripture we're going to talk about. Verse 4, "And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he laid with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, 'I am with child.' And David sent to Joab, saying, 'Send me Uriah the Hittite.' And Joab sent Uriah to David." Now, when Uriah was come, David demanded of him how Joab did, and the people, and how the war prospered. So we see here that he had a pretense that he was pretending to send for Uriah to see how Joab and the war and the Israelites fighting was doing and how the war prospered. Amen. But David said to Uriah, "Go down to thy house and wash thy feet." And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king, verse 8. So he wanted him to be full. He wanted him to go in and sleep with his wife to cover up his sin. Verse 9. "But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord, and went not down to his house. And when they had told David, saying, 'Uriah went not down unto his house,' David said unto Uriah, 'Camest thou not from thy journey? Why then didst thou not go down unto thy house?' And Uriah said unto David, 'The ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open fields.'" In other words, they're laying out on the ground in open fields. "Shall I then go into my house to eat and to drink and to lie with my wife? As thou livest and as thy soul liveth, I will not do this thing." So Uriah was an upright man. Amen. So the Bible says in verse 12, we're in 2 Samuel chapter 11, "And David said to Uriah, 'Tarry here today also, and tomorrow I will let thee depart.' So Uriah abode in Jerusalem that day and the next day. When David called him on the next day, he did eat and drink before him, and he made him drunk. And at evening he went out to lie on his bed with the servants of his lord, but went not down to his house. David thought if he got Uriah drunk, he would surely go home to his beautiful wife. But no, Uriah still did not, because the Lord's hand was in this thing." Look at verse 15. And the Bible says, "And he wrote," let's read verse 14. "It came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. verse 15, and he sent, wrote in the letter saying, set ye Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle, and retire you from him that he may be smitten and die. And it came to pass, when Joab observed the city, that he assigned Uriah unto a place where he knew that valiant men were. And that those are men that are very strong. They are very strong, and they probably were stronger than Uriah. So Joab knew that if he put Uriah in that place with the enemy, where his strongest people were, and then retired or went back and left him out there by himself, that in all probability he would be killed. Which David, he was obeying the commands of David, what David had told him to do in the letter. Verse 17. And the men of the city went out and fought with Joab, and there fell some of the people of the servants of David, and Uriah the Hittite died also. Verse 18, then Joab sent and told David all the things concerning the war, and charged the messenger, saying, when thou hast made an end of telling the matter of the war of the king, and if so be that the king's wrath arise, and he say unto thee, wherefore approach ye so nigh unto the city, when ye did fight, know ye not that they would shoot from the wall? Who smote Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal? Did not a woman cast a piece of a millstone upon him from the wall, that he died in Thebez? Why went ye near the wall? Then say thou, thy servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also. This is what David had told Joab to do in the first place. Make sure that Uriah is killed. So the messenger went and came and showed David all that Joab had sent him for. Verse 23, and the messenger said unto David, surely the men prevailed against us and came out unto us into the field, and we were upon them even unto the entering in of the gate. And the shooter shot from off the wall upon thy servants, some of the king's servants be dead, and thy servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also. Then David said unto the messenger, thus shalt thou say unto Joab. All this was done in secret. The messenger didn't know why David wanted Uriah dead, but David knew. And David said unto the messenger, and God knew. That's the most important thing, God knew. This message is entitled Secret Sins, and saints, I'm going to show you a secret that God, I mean a message that God had put in my heart. Verse 25, then David said unto the messenger, thus shalt thou say unto Joab, let not this thing displease thee, for the sword devoureth one as well as another. Make thy battle more strong against the city, and overthrow it, and encourage thou him. So David acted like nothing had been done, like he hadn't did nothing wrong, went back to his normal life as usual. Verse 26, when the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she mourned for her husband. Amen. Verse 27, and when the mourning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife, and bare him a son. But this is the key verse in verse 27. The thing that David had done displeased the Lord. Now let's talk about this chapter in 2 Samuel. The first verse I want to talk about is verse 3. The word Bathsheba means daughter of an oath. That she was the wife of Uriah. Uriah was a Hittite. The Hittites were Canaanites that were descended from Ham. Now, if you remember back in Genesis, around the 6th chapter through the 11th chapter, it talks about Noah. Noah had three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Ham was, each one of these three sons, after the flood, you know, Noah and the flood, the ark, all the animals, Noah was in the flood, you know, and everybody got killed off but him and his eight. It was eight people left, him, his wife, his three sons, and their wives. So his three sons was Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Now, Ham was the one that his descendants settled in Africa. I don't have time to go into that. I have another book that I'm writing on the descendants in the Bible, and especially the blacks, where we came from, and all of us in the Bible, which is we are prevalent in the Bible. We are so prevalent in the Bible, it's not funny, but a lot of people don't talk about it. But Ham's children went to Africa. They settled in Libya, Ethiopia, and Egypt. Libya, Ethiopia, and Egypt. These countries were blessed because these are the only three countries, really, that still carry their same name that they had in the Bible days. Everybody else that spread out, their names have changed. You can't identify where they went unless you do some research. But all you have to do is know that Cush, Mizraim, and Phut, those names are the common day descendants of Egypt, Ethiopia, and Libya. So that means right there that's a blessing because the names did not change. Those people, we are still identified by our three original ancestors through the sons of Noah. So that was a blessing in and of itself. But the Hittites were Canaanites. Now, Canaan was the son that, he was the grandson of Noah through Ham. And when Ham looked on his father's nakedness, a lot of people say, well, black people were cursed. That's not true. Black people were not cursed. When Ham looked on his father's nakedness, Noah being a prophet and being a man of God, being a prophet of God, God spoke through Noah and said, cursed be Canaan. He did not curse Ham. If he had cursed Ham, then yes, all black people would be cursed. God did not curse Ham. God cursed Canaan. Canaan wasn't even born yet. But God prophesied through Noah, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be. Because Canaan was the one that was not going to even go to Africa. Canaan stayed right there in the Middle East. As a matter of fact, his land was the land that the Israelites conquered when they had got to the Promised Land. The Promised Land was the land of the Canaanites, and that's in the Middle East where Jerusalem is. So, I mean, this is nothing to do with Africa about the curse. The Canaanites' land was taken. God told them to destroy the Canaanites, and when they didn't, God got them. So it has nothing to do with black people being cursed. I just want to get that straight. But anyway, the Hittites were one, getting to my point, the Hittites were one of the tribes of the Canaanites. And you can read this over in Genesis and in the first five books of the Bible. It talks about the Promised Land. It talks about the Canaanites. It talks about the Hittites all through the Bible. But the Hittites were one of the people that they did not destroy. Uriah, my point being, Uriah was a Hittite who was a Canaanite. Now, the word Ham means burnt skin. So Ham people, all his descendants, were people of color. That's where we come from. The Canaanites were people of color. The Israelites were people of color. Believe it or not, the only people that are not people of color were the people that Japheth fathered, who went to Europe, and because of the being out of the sunlight for so many months, because that was the cold region of the world, Europe, where it's cold at, their skin and their hair changed to adapt to the environment, which means that they were out of the sun because it was so cold. They were indoor people. They didn't get a lot of sunlight, so they started losing the melanin in their skin. Those people are the descendants of the Caucasian people, which came from the Caucasus Mountains and the European regions of the world. Those people, amen, were the ones that are not really even in the Bible because they were in caves. They were dwelling in caves. When we were kings and queens and ruling the world, creating the alphabet, creating the mathematical sciences, creating all the different sciences that we are taught that the Caucasian people came and took from the Egyptians and the Ethiopians and all the people of color, took all of our inventions and made it their own, and they wrote their own history. So, I mean, this is all, you can all prove all of this and everything. But anyway, the Hittites were sons of Canaan, the Canaanites. And the Bible says that Uriah was a Hittite. Now, the Hittites were Canaanites. They were descended from Ham, the only son of Noah that settled in Africa. His descendants were the ancestors of the black race. Her husband, Bathsheba's husband, was descended from Ham. So because he was descended from Ham, it's more than likely that she also was a descendant of Ham. So I just wanted to bring that point out. Bathsheba was probably a woman of color because she was married to a Hittite who was the son of Canaan, which we already went through that. So she probably was what we would term today as a black woman. If you were to look at her, the Bible says she was very beautiful to look at. She was a black woman, a woman of color. She became the wife of David. So people back then, people of color, everybody in the Bible was a person of color. There was really nobody that didn't have any color in their skin in the Bible because it really was like a curse not to have any color. That's why leprosy, it says leprosy makes your skin white. I'm not saying that Caucasian people are not are cursed, but what I'm saying is it was not good to not have any color because leprosy was a disease that took away and made your skin white. So, and it was spots of white, you know, and then eventually it would take over your whole body, leprosy. And it was a disease. So it was not good to not have color in the Bible, in your skin, because we came from earth. We came from dirt. We came from the ground. There is no white dirt in Africa. That's where the Garden of Eden is, where the rivers come from. The Euphrates and the Tigris are all in Africa. So we know the cradle of civilization is in Africa. They know this. Everybody knows this. So the soil is color. Adam was a man of color. Everybody that came from Adam on down was people of color. Everybody in the Bible were people of color. But this is not something that we talk about. So anyway, Bathsheba was a black woman or a woman of color. She became the wife of David and the mother of King Solomon. King Solomon fell in love with another black woman to show you that there were only people of color in the Bible. King Solomon fell in love with another black woman who probably reminded him of his mother. This woman was the Queen of Sheba from Africa. She went back to Ethiopia, the country that we know today as Ethiopia. But that's why the Ethiopian Jews were taken to Jerusalem some years ago when the Jews started regathering. They couldn't forget about the Ethiopian Jews because you can trace their lineage back to King David and the Queen of Sheba. So they were Jews through David. This woman was the Queen of Sheba from Africa, later known as Ethiopia. David had sex with her in verse 4. Now we're going back to Bathsheba now. David had sex with Bathsheba in verse 4, despite the fact that she was married. This was his first sin because this was a sin of adultery. Okay, so he started off with adultery. Verse 5, she became pregnant by King David. David tried to cover his sin by having her husband come home from war so he would think the baby was his, the oldest trick in the book. So many men are getting tricked right now to thinking that the baby's theirs when it's not. But that's the oldest trick in the book. But this did not work because God was in this thing. I'm trying to show you the hand of God in this situation. Uriah was a faithful believer and a soldier. His response in verse 11 shows his dedication to the Lord, the Israelites, and to King David. Uriah said to King David in verse 11, "The ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go into mine house to eat and to drink and to lie with my house? As thou livest and as thy soul liveth, I will not do this thing." So Uriah was a very upright man. He was a man of character and integrity. Verse 12 and 13. David got him drunk, thinking he would forget and go home and sleep with his wife to cover up his sin. But he did not go home the second day either. So verse 14 and 15, this forced David, because his mind was so far gone into this sin, to cover up his tracks, and he forgot that God sees everything. But verse 14 and 15, this was something that David did in secret. This is what we're talking about tonight, secret sin. Verse 14 and 15, this forced David to go to plan B. When David saw how faithful Uriah was and his character, David trusted him to carry his own death sentence to his superior officer. This is very deep, saints, because how many people are going to trust you to carry your own death sentence? If Uriah had not been a faithful person, he would have probably still been alive. But Uriah was faithful to King David. He loved King David. He loved Israel. And he loved the Lord. So therefore, God was watching over Uriah. Amen. So David trusted Uriah to take his own letter of murder to have him killed in the heat of the battle. The instructions to have him killed, David gave him the letter to take to Joab. This really tripped me out when I understood this, how David trusted him, because he knew that this man was not going to open that letter. So verse 26 and 27, if you keep reading on down, which we've already read, we see how he was killed in the heat of the battle. Verse 26 and 27 says, "After this sin of murder," look at what the Bible says, "and when the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she mourned for her husband. And when the mourning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house. She became his wife and bare him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord." This is very important that we understand this. What David had done, it displeased God. Have you ever done anything that displeased God? If you have, then this message is going to hit you home tonight. 2 Samuel 12, in the next chapter, it talks about what happens, how God feels about what David had did. So let's go back over to 2 Samuel chapter 11. We're going to go to chapter 12 now. We're going to start in verse 1. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came in unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. We're going to read 12 and 1 through 14. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drink of his own cup and laid in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. Verse 4, and there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. Verse 5, and David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, for he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. Verse 6, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing, and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. We're going to talk about that. Thus said the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore thou hast despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight. Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Amnon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Verse 11, thus said the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house. I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. For thou didst it secretly. That's the key message tonight. God told David, thou did it in secret, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the son. Verse 13, and David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Verse 14, howbeit, because thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. Now let me go back to my notes on 2 Samuel chapter 12. God sent Nathan the prophet to speak to King David with a parable. And this parable was about a man that had a sheep that he loved very much. The Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came to him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor, talking about David and Uriah. Verse 3. Verse 3 shows how much Uriah loved his wife, because this man loved his sheep. It was the only one he had. He fed him of his own table. So Uriah really loved Bathsheba. Verse 5. David's anger was kindled when Nathan told him about this parable. David got angry, and he said that the man should be killed. The reason why God gave David this parable is to let him understand how angry he was with David. So David's anger was kindled in verse 5, so he would understand how the Lord's anger was kindled against him later. The most famous words ever spoken, I think, are the words that Nathan spoke to David when he analyzed this parable. He said, thou art the man. That says it all in a nutshell. Thou art the man. Verse 12 shows how the Lord feels about secret sins. He said, for you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. Verse 13, David was quick to confess his sin, and that confession saved his soul. The Bible says confession is good for the soul. Because David did not try to hold on and try to defend himself, he saved his own life. Because God had spoken through Nathan that David was going to die. But because David confessed his sin, he was quick to repent. That's why we got to be quick to repent, saints. That confession saved his life. When God sets you up and trusts you in a position of authority, if you sin, the penalty is greater because of verse 14. Look at verse 14. Well, first he said, you shall not die, but the child that is born of that sinful union shall die. Now, let's read verse 14 back over in 2 Samuel chapter 12, the Bible says, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, this child that is born unto thee shall surely die. So this is why God said when he placed you in a position of authority and you sin, the penalty is greater. Now, David didn't die, but the child died because of the sin that David had committed. And you can read on through verse 12, chapter 12, and it talks about how David fasted, but God didn't honor that. The child still died. So my question to you tonight is, have you done anything that displeased the Lord? If you have, we need to close with reading Psalm chapter 51. We're going to see why David was the apple of God's eye. Amen. So let's turn over to Psalm chapter 51 and verse 1. And the Bible says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him. This is what refers back to what we just read. After he had gone into Bathsheba. This is David's prayer, and this is going to show you the heart of David and why he was considered the apple of God's eye. This is a model prayer for anybody that's fallen into sin that wants to get back on God's good side. The Bible says, David said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. So the first thing he said was he prayed for mercy. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. He asked God to blot out his transgressions because he had transgressed sin. There's a difference between transgression and sin. Transgression means that you are going into an area that you don't belong. David went into an area that he did not belong. He said, blot out my transgressions. I have transgressed. Amen. I have stepped into an area I should not have stepped into. Wash me from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. He didn't just say forgive me. He said wash me from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned. Verse 4. This is very important that we understand. When we sin, we are sinning against God. That's why we have to be forgiven by God. He said, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. David went deep with this thing. When I read this, I heard in my spirit, go hard or go home. When you repent, you have to repent from the depths of your being, from your soul. David repented for his sin. He said, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me, or wash me, or cleanse me. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Hide your face, O God, from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. And then verse 10, this really blessed me, and we're going to close. Got a couple of minutes left. In verse 10, he said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Praise God. He said, create in me a clean heart, so I won't do this again, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. This is very important to David, that the Holy Spirit not be taken away from him and that he not be cast away from the presence of God by this sin. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, because when you sin, you lose the joy. Amen. He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. We have to stay in the presence of God, and sin will take you out of the presence of God. He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then I will teach grant transgressors thy way. Because I have transgressed and you've forgiven me, I can teach others. He said, then will I teach transgressors thy way, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness. The murder that he had created was blood on his hand. He said, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation. and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. He said, if you deliver me from this blood of the murder of Uriah, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. David was a man of praise and worship, so he knew how to get to the heart of God. He said, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it, nor thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Amen. We're going to stop there. Amen. I just wanted to show you how to get back on the good, on the right side of God. Amen. When you sin. And all of us need to read through Psalms 51. We need to, anytime we sin, we have to read Psalms 51, and we have to repent and use the same, use that as our prayer. Amen. So my time is up. God bless you. I love you. I'll be back with you again as soon as the Lord say, release me with another message, hopefully within the next couple of days. God bless you. This is Evangelist Amos signing off tonight from Manateacher Ministry. Be blessed.